Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. We forever give praise and thanks to Almighty God Allah for blessing us. We say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. We seek Allah's help against Satan the rejected. We say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And then we offer the Al-Fatiha. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Rahman, Rahim, Maliki Omidi, Iyaka Naburua, Iyaka Nasta'een, Ihdina Sirata Mustaqim, Sirata Ladina Alayhim, Sayyidu Maqibi Alayhim, Radhaleen, Ameen. This is the Good Life, Holy Quran, Sister Claire Muhammad Education Hour. And we support the Sister Claire Muhammad STEM Resources Center. Right now, the Sister Claire Muhammad STEM Resources Center. So every day we read 1/30 of the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran Sharif. Today we're starting at the 14th/30th of the Holy Quran, Al-Hajr. It's the 15th surah. And we begin. Alif Lam Ra, these are the ayat of revelation of a Quran that makes things clear. Again and again were those who disbelieved wish that they had vowed to Allah's rule in Islam. Leave them alone to enjoy the good things of this life. And to please themselves, let false hope amuse them, soon will knowledge undeceive them. Never did we destroy a population that had not a term decreed and assigned beforehand. Neither can a people anticipate his turn nor delay it. They say, O thou to whom the message is being revealed, truly thou art mad or possessed. Why bringest thou not angels to us, if it be that thou hast the truth? We send not the angels down except for just cause. They came to the ungodly, behold, no respite that they have. We have without doubt sent down the message, in other words, Quran, and we will assuredly guard it from corruption. We did send messages before thee amongst the religious sects of old, but never came a messenger to them, but they mocked him. Even so do we let it creep into the hearts of the sinners that they should not believe in the message, but the ways of ancient have passed away. Even we open out to them a gate from heaven, and they were to continue all day ascending therein. They would only say, our eyes have been intoxicated. Nay, we have been bewitched by sorcery. It is we who have set out the zodiacal signs in the heavens that made them fair seeming to all beholders. And moreover, we have guarded them from every evil spirit of curse. But any that gains a hearing by stealth is pursued by a flaming fire bright to see. And the earth we have spread out like a carpet, set thereon mountain firm and unmovable, and produced therein all kinds of things in due balance. And we have provided therein means of subsistence for you and for those for whose substance ye are not responsible. And there is not a thing but its sources and treasures inexhaustible are with us, but we only send down thereof in due and ascertainable measures. And we send the fecundating winds, then cause the rain to descend from the sky, therewith providing you with water in abundance, though ye are not the guardians of its stores. And verily, it is we who give life and who give death. It is we who remain inheritance after all else passes away. To us are known those of you who hasten forward and those who lag behind. Assuredly, it is thy Lord who will gather them together, for he is the perfect in wisdom and knowledge. Alhamdulillah. This is the Good Life, Holy Quran, and Sister Claire Muhammad Education Hour. Alhamdulillah. We're reading 130th of the Holy Quran. If you want to get in on the reading, right now we're at section 3. We're at Surah 15, Al-Hijr. Ayat number 26. Ayat 26. Alhamdulillah. We created man from sounding clay, from mud molded into shape. And the jinn race we had created before from the fire of scorching wind. Behold, thy Lord said to the angels, I'm about to create man from sounding clay, from mud molded into shape. When I have fashioned him in due proportion and breathed into him of my spirit, fall ye down in obeisance unto him. So the angels prostrated themselves, all of them together. Not so Iblis. He refused to be among those who prostrated themselves. Allah said, Iblis, what is your reason for not being among those who prostrated themselves? Allah said, Iblis, what is your reason for not being among those who prostrated themselves? Iblis said, I'm not one to prostrate myself to man, whom thou didst create from sounding clay, from mud molded into shape. Allah said, then get out from here, for thou art rejected, a curse, and the curse shall be on thee till the day of judgment. Iblis said, O my Lord, give me then respite till the day the dead are raised. Allah said, respite is granted thee to the day of the time appointed. Iblis said, O my Lord, because thou hast put me in the wrong, I will make wrong fair seeming to them on the earth, and I will put them all in the wrong, except thy servants among them sincere and purified by thy grace. Allah said, this way of my sincere servants is indeed a way that leads straight to me. For over my servants no authority shall thou have, except such as put themselves in the wrong and follow thee. And verily, hell is the promise abode for them all. To it are 7 gates. Each of those gates is a special class of sinners assigned. The righteous will be amid gardens and fountains of clear flowing water. Their greetings will be, enter ye here in peace and security, and we shall remove from their hearts any lurking sense of injury. They will be brothers, joyfully facing each other on thrones of dignity. There no sense of fatigue shall touch them, nor shall they ever be asked to leave. Tell my servants that I am indeed all-forgiving, most merciful, and that my penalty will be indeed the most grievous penalty. Tell them about the guest of Abraham when he entered his presence and said, peace. He said, we feel afraid of you. They said, fear not. We give the glad tidings of a son endowed with wisdom. He said, do you give me glad tidings that old age has seized me? Of what then is your good news? They said, we give thee glad tidings of truth. Be not then in despair. He said, and who despairs of the mercy of his Lord but such as go astray? I like that. He said, who despairs of the mercy of his Lord but such as go astray? Abraham said, what then is the business of which ye have come, O ye messengers of Allah? He said, we have been sent to a people deep in sin, accepting the adherence of Lut. Then we are certainly charged to save all from harm, except his wife, who we have ascertained will be among those who lag behind. At length, when the messengers arrive among the adherents of Lut, he said, ye appear to be uncommon folk. They said, yea, we have come to thee to accomplish that of which they doubt. We have brought to thee that which is inevitably due, and assuredly we tell the truth. Then travel by night with thy household, with a portion of the night yet remain, and do thou bring up the rear, that no one amongst you look back, and pass on whither you are ordered. And we made known this decree to him, that the last remnants of those sinners should be cut off by the morning. The inhabitants of the city came in mad joy at news of the young men. Lut said, "These are my guests, disgrace me not, but fear Allah and shame me not." They said, "Did we not forbid thee to speak for all and sundry?" He said, "There are my daughters to marry, if ye must act so. Verily, by the life, O Prophet, in their wild intoxication, they wander in distraction to and fro. But the mighty blast overtook them before morning, and we turned the cities upside down and rained down on them brimstones hard as baked clay. Behold, in this are signs for those who, by tokens, do understand. And the cities were right on the high road. Behold, and this is a sign for those who believe. And the companions of the wood were also wrongdoers. So we exacted retribution from them. They were both on an open highway, plain to see." I'm at section 6. I'm at number 80. I'm at Surah 15, number 80. "The companions of the track also rejected the messengers. We sent them our signs, but they persisted in turning away from them. Out of mountains did they hew their edifices, feeling themselves secure. But the mighty blast seized them of a morning, and of no avail to them was all that they did with such art and care. We created not the heavens and the earth and all between them, but for just ends. And the hour is assuredly coming when this will be manifest. So overlook any human faults with gracious forgiveness. For verily, it is thy Lord who is the master creator, knowing all things. And we have bestowed upon thee the 7 oft-repeated verses in the Grand Quran. Strain not thine eyes wistfully at what we have bestowed on some of them, or grieve over them, but lower the wings and gentleness to the believers, and say, I'm indeed he that warneth openly and without ambiguity of just such wrath as we sent down on those who divided scripture into arbitrary parts. So also on such as have made the Quran into shreds as they please. Therefore, thy Lord, we will of a surety call them to account for all their deeds. Therefore, expound openly commanded and turn away from those who join false gods with Allah. For sufficient are we unto thee against those who scoff, those who adopt with Allah another god, but soon will they come to know. We do indeed know how thy heart is distressed at what they say, but celebrate the praises of thy Lord and be of those who prostrate themselves in adoration and serve thy Lord until there come unto thee the hour that is certain. Alhamdulillah. We're at Surah 16. We're Surah Alhamdulillah. Yes, sir. Surah 16 there. Yeah. Assalamu alaikum. My brother, Muhammad Sharif.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is the guidance. I'm seeking the guidance here, so this is the place where we get it from, right here. I'll praise be to Allah. Okay, you want to read here, brother?
Yes, Surah 16, and now the bees. Adum Shaitan al-Rajim, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Inevitably come to pass the command of Allah. Seek ye not then to hasten and glory to him. How far is he above heaven, the partners they ascribe unto him? He doth send down his angels with inspiration at his command to such of his servants as he please, saying, warn man that they have no God but I, shall do your duty unto me. He has created the heavens and the earth for just ends. For is he above heaven, the partners they ascribe to him. He has created man from a sperm drop, and behold, the same man becomes an open disputer. And cattle he has created for you men, for from them you derive warmth and numerous benefits, and all their meat you eat. And you have a sense of pride and beauty in them as you drive them home in the evening, as ye lead them forth to pasture in the morning. And they carry your heavy loads to lands that you could not otherwise reach except with soul distress. For your Lord is indeed most kind, most merciful. And he has created horses, mules, and donkeys for you to ride and use for show. And he has created other things of which you have no knowledge. And unto Allah you lead straight the way. But there are ways that turn aside. If Allah had willed, he could have guided all of you.
Alhamdulillah, I'm in section 2. I'm in section 2, I'm in number 10. It is he who sends down rain from the sky. From it ye drink, and out of it grows the vegetation on which ye feed your cattle. With it he produces for you corn, olives, date palms, grapes, and every kind of fruit. Verily, and this is a sign for those who give thought. He has made subject to you the night and the day, and the sun and the moon and the stars are in subjection by his command. Verily, in this are signs for men who are wise. And the things on this earth which he has multiplied in varying colors and qualities, verily, in this is a sign for men who celebrate the praises of Allah in gratitude. It is he who has made the sea subject that ye may eat thereof flesh that is fresh and tender, that ye may extract therefrom ornaments to wear. And thou seest the ships therein that plow the waves, that ye may seek thus of the bounties of Allah, that ye may be grateful. And he has set up on the earth mountains standing firm, lest it should shake with you, and rivers and roads, that ye may guide yourselves. And marks and signposts, and by the stars men guide themselves. Is then he who creates like one that creates not? Will you not receive admonition? If you would count up the favors of Allah, never would you be able to number them, for Allah is all-forgiving, most merciful. And Allah doth know what ye conceal and what ye reveal. Those whom they invoke besides Allah create nothing, and are themselves created. They are things dead, lifeless, nor do they know when they will be raised up.
Section 3, Ayah 22. Your God is one God. As for those who believe not in hereafter, their hearts refuse to know, and they are arrogant. Undoubtedly, Allah does know what they conceal and what they reveal. Verily, he loveth not the arrogant. When they said to them, what is it that your Lord has revealed? They say, tales of the ancients. Let them bear on their judgment their own burdens in full, and also something of the burdens of those without knowledge whom they misled. Alas, how grievous the burden they will bear.
Okay. Oh, there, I'm there left. Section 4. Number 26, those before them did also plot against Allah's way, but Allah took their structures from their foundations, and the roof fell down on them from above, and the wrath seized them from directions they did not perceive. Then on the day of judgment, he will cover them with shame and say, where are my partners concerning whom you used to dispute with the godly? Those imbued with knowledge will say, this day indeed are the unbelievers covered with shame and misery. And to their own souls, then would they offer submission with the pretense, we did no evil knowingly. The angels will reply, nay, but verily Allah knoweth all that ye did. So enter the gates of hell to dwell therein. Thus evil indeed is the abode of the arrogant. To the righteous will they say, what is that your Lord has revealed? They say, all that is good. To those who do good, there is good in this world, and the home of the hereafter is even better. And excellent indeed is the home of the righteous. Gardens of eternity, which they will enter, beneath them flow pleasant rivers. They will have therein all that they wish. Thus doth Allah reward the righteous, namely those whose lives the angels take in a state of purity, saying to them, peace be on you. Enter ye the garden because of the good which ye did in the world. Do the ungodly wait until the angels come to them, or there comes the command of thy Lord for their doom? So did those who went before them, but Allah wronged them not. Nay, they wronged their own souls. But the evil results of their deeds overtook them, and that very wrath at which they had sought hemmed them in. Section 5.
The worshippers of false gods say, if Allah has so will, we should not have worshipped anything but him. Neither we nor our fathers, nor should we have prescribed prohibitions other than he is. So did those who went before them. But what is this mission of for messengers? Let your priests declare message. For we are surely sent among every people a messenger with the command, serve Allah and eschew evil. Of the people were some whom Allah guided, and some on whom error became inevitably established. Let's travel to the earth and see what was the end of those who denied the truth. If you are anxious for their guidance, yet Allah guides not such as he leads astray, and there is none to help them. They swear their strongest oath by Allah, that Allah will not raise up those who die, but it is a promise binding on him in truth. But most among mankind realize it not. They must be raised up in order that he might, subhanAllah, they must be raised up in order that he may manifest to them the truth of that wherein they differ, and that the rejecters of truth may realize that they had indeed surrendered to falsehood. But to anything which we have willed, we but say the word be, and it is.
Alhamdulillah, to those who leave their homes in the cause of Allah after suffering oppression, we will assuredly give a goodly home in this world. But truly the reward of the hereafter will be greater if they only realize this. They are those who persevere in patience and put their trust on their Lord. And before thee also the messages we sent were but men to whom we granted inspiration. If you realize this not, ask of those who possess the message. We sent them clear signs in scripture, and we have sent unto thee also the message. Hold on one second here. Okay. possess the message. We sent them with clear signs and scriptures, and we sent down unto thee also the message, that thou mayest explain clearly to men what is sent for them, and that they may give thought. Do then those who devise evil plots feel secure that Allah will not cause the earth to swallow them up, or that the wrath will not seize them from directions they little perceive, or that he may not call them to account in the midst of their goings to and fro without a chance of their frustrating him, or that he may not call them to account by a process of slow wastage? For thy Lord is indeed full of kindness and mercy. Do they not look at Allah's creation, even among inanimate things, how their very shadows turn round from right and the left, prostrating themselves to Allah, and that in the humblest manner? Alhamdulillah, we have a prostration here. So, Brother Muhammad Sharif, so what do you do when we have a prostration? What do you do?
Yeah, that's at next ayat 49.
Right.
That prostration
and to Allah. Go ahead. What are you saying?
You will make one prostration.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, but if we're reading here, all we do is kind of bow our heads.
No, you make a full prostration. You know, bow down all the way, your head to the floor, to the ground. You want full prostration.
One full prostration. Okay, so
yeah.
Right now I'm at a table. I'm reading at my desk. So what should I do?
Yeah, if you have a space, you know, get up from your move from your desk as though you're standing in prayer. You make a full prostration. You get up from your desk.
Okay.
If you got space.
Okay, I'm going to do it. Okay, I'm going to do it right now.
All right. Me too. Oh, all right. Then continue reading.
Okay, praise be to Allah. And to Allah doth obeisance. And to Allah doth obeisance all that is in the heavens and on earth, whether moving, living creatures, or the angels, for none are arrogant before their Lord. They all reverse, alhamdulillah. They all revere their Lord high above them, and they do all that they are commanded. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Rashad.
Yes, sir. Wa alaikum salam, both to both of Brother you and Brother Muhammad. Assalamu
alaikum. Wa alaikum salam.
What are you? What where are you? Surah.
Okay, we're at Surah 16. All now the B, I guess. Yeah, the B. And we're at Ayat 51. Ayat 51.
Oh, okay, 51. All right.
51. And we were just discussing if we come into a prostration, what we
yes,
should
sir.
Do is get up from our desk and make that one prostration, and then come back and continue the reading.
Oh, okay, alhamdulillah.
So that sounds like something good, really good, alhamdulillah. All right, who's next? Who's the next reader here? Ayat 51.
Yeah, I think Brother Rashad just came on, so I guess he will read now.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right, Uzbalai Mishitan Jin, Yusulah Hermani. Allah has said, take not for worship two gods, for he is just one God. then fear me and me alone. To him belongs whatever is in the heavens and on earth, and to him is a religion always. Then will ye fear other than Allah? And ye have no good thing, but it's from Allah. And moreover, when you are touched by distress unto him, you cry with groans. Yet, when he removes the distress from you, behold, some of you turn to the gods to join with him, their Lord, and some of you turn to other gods to join with their Lord, to show their ingratitude for the favors we have bestowed on them. Then enjoy your brief day, but soon will ye know your folly. And they even assign to things they do not know a portion out of that which we have bestowed for their sustenance. By Allah, ye shall certainly be called to account for your false inventions. And they assign daughters for Allah, glory be to him, and for themselves what they desire. When news is brought to one of them of the birth of a female child, his face darkens, and he is filled with inward grief. With shame does he hide himself from the people because of the bad news he has had. Shall he retain it, or sufferance and contempt, or bury it in the dust? Ah, what an evil choice they decide on. Those who believe not in the hereafter apply the similitude of evil. To Allah applies the higher similitude, for he is exalted in power, full of wisdom. If Allah were to punish men for their wrongdoing, he would not...
Allah.
Okay. Section 8, 61. If Allah were to punish men for their wrongdoing, he would not leave on the earth a single living creature. But he gives them respite for a stated term. When their term expires, they will not be able to delay the punishment for a single hour, just as they will not be able to anticipate it for a single hour. They attribute to Allah what they hate for themselves, and their tongues assert the falsehood all upon Allah. And their tongues assert the falsehood that all good things are for themselves, without doubt, for them is the fire. They will be in the fire upon Allah. And they will be the first to be hastened on into it. By Allah, we also sent our prophets to peoples before them. Upon Allah. By Allah, we also sent our prophets to peoples before you. But Satan made to the wicked their own acts seem alluring, as he is also their patron today. They shall have the most grievous penalty. And we sent down the book for you for the express purpose that you do it to make clear to them the things in which they differ, and that it should be a guide and a mercy to those who believe. And Allah sends down rain from the skies and gives therewith life to the earth after its death. Verily, this is a sign for those who listen.
Alhamdulillah. All right, brother. And verily in cattle too will ye find an instructive sign for what is within their bodies. Between excretions and blood he produced for you for your milk. He produced for your drink milk pure and pleasant to those who drink it. And from the fruit of the date palm and the vine ye get out and drink and wholesome food. Behold, this is also a sign for those who are wise. And thy Lord taught the beast to build its cells in hills, on trees, and in men's habitations. then to eat of all the produce of the earth, and find with skill the spacious paths of its Lord. There issues from within their bodies a drink of varying colors, wherein is healing for men. Verily, this is a sign for those who give thought. It is Allah who creates you and takes your souls at death. And of you there are some who are sent back to a feeble age so that they know nothing after having known much. For Allah is all-knowing, all-powerful.
Allah has bestowed his gifts of sustenance more freely on some of you than on others. Those more favored are not going to throw back their gifts to those whom their right hand possesses so as to be equal in that respect. Will they then deny the favors of Allah? And Allah made for you mates of your own nature, and made for you out of them sons and daughters and grandchildren, and provided for you sustenance of the best. Will they then believe in vain things and be ungrateful for Allah's favors and worship others than Allah, such as have no power of providing them for sustenance with anything in the heavens or earth, and cannot possibly have such power? Is it not similitude for Allah? For Allah knoweth, and ye know not. Allah sets forth the parable of two men, one a slave under the dominion of another, he has no power of any sort, and the other a man on whom we have bestowed goodly favors from ourselves, and he spends thereof freely, privately and publicly. Are the two evil? By no means. Praise be to Allah, but most of them know not. Allah sets forth another parable of two men, one of them dumb, with no power of any sort. A wearisome burden is he to his master. Whichever way he directs him, he brings no good. Is such a man equal with one who commands justice and is on a straight way?
Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar.
Section 11, Ayah 7-7. To Allah belong the mystery of the heavens and the earth, and the minions of the hour of judgment. If there's a twinkling of an eye, or even quicker, for Allah has power of all things. It's he who brought you forth from the womb of your mother, when you knew nothing. And he gave you hearing and sight and intelligence and affection, that you may give thanks to Allah. Do they not look at the birds, their poise in the midst of the air and of the sky? Nothing holds them up but the power of Allah. Wherein this are signs for those who believe. It is Allah who made your habitations homes of rest and quiet for you, and made for you out of the skins of animals tents for your dwellings, which you find so light and handy when you travel and when you stop in your travels, and out of their wool and their soft fiber, between wool and hair, and their hair, rich stuff and articles of convenience to serve you for a time. It is Allah who made out of the things he created some things to give you shade. Of the hills he made some for your shelter, and made you garments to protect you from heat, and coats of mail to protect you from your mutual violence. Thus does he complete his favors on you, that you may bow to his will in al-Islam. But if they turn away your duty is only to preach the clear message. They recognize the favors of Allah. Then they deny them, but most of them are creatures ungrateful.
Alhamdulillah. We're at section 12, number 84. One day we shall raise from each people a witness. Then will no excuse be accepted from unbelievers, nor will they receive any favors. When the wrongdoers act and see the penalty, then will it in no way be mitigated, nor will they then receive respite. When those who gave partners to Allah will see their partners, they will say, "Our Lord, these are our partners, those whom we used to invoke besides thee." But they will throw back their word at them and say, "Indeed, ye are liars." That day shall they openly show their submission to Allah, and all their inventions shall leave them in the lurch. Those who reject Allah and hinder men from the path of Allah, for them will we add penalty to penalty, for that they used to spread mischief. One day we shall raise from each people a witness against them from amongst themselves, and we shall bring thee as a witness against thee, thy people, and we have sent down to thee a book explaining all things, a guide, a mercy, and a glad tidings to Muslims.
Allah commands justice, the doing of good, and giving the kith and kin, and he forbids all indecent deeds and evil and rebellion. He instructs you that you may receive admonition. Fulfill the covenant of Allah when you have entered into it, and break not your oath after you have confirmed them. Indeed, you have made Allah your surety, for Allah knoweth all that ye do. And do not like the woman who breaks into untwisted strands the yarn which she has spun after it has become strong, using your oaths to deceive one another, least one part of it should be more numerous than the other. For Allah will test you by this, and on the day of judgment, he will certainly make clear to you the truth of that wherein you disagree. If Allah so will, he could have made you all one people, but at least in whom he pleases, and guides whom he pleases. But you shall certainly be called to account for all your actions. And take not your oaths to practice deception between one another, between yourselves, with the result that someone's foot may slip after it was firmly planted, and you may have to taste the evil consequences of having hindered men from the path of Allah and a mighty wrath descend on you. Now say the covenant of Allah for a miserable price, for with Allah is a prize for better for you, if you only knew. What is with you must vanish, was with Allah will endure, and we will certainly bestow on those who patiently persevere their reward according to the best of their actions. Whoever works righteousness, man or woman, and has faith, verily to him we will give a new life that is pure, that is good and pure. And we bestow on such their reward according to the best of their actions. When thou doest read the Quran, seek Allah's protection from Satan the rejected one. No authority has he over those who believe and put their trust in their Lord. His authority is over those only who take him as patron and who join partners with Allah.
Alhamdulillah. Is it my turn, huh?
No, it's me next.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Section 14, Ayah 101. When we substitute one revelation for another, and Allah knows best what he reveals in stages, they say, "Thou art but a forger," but most of them understand not. Say, "The Holy Spirit has brought the revelation from your Lord in truth, in order to strengthen those who believe, and as a guide and glad tidings to Muslims." We know indeed that they say it is a man that teaches him. The tongue of him they wickedly point to, in nobly foreign, while this in Arabic, peace and clear, promise upon Allah. I read that again. We indeed know that they say it is a man that teaches him. The tongue of him they wickedly point to is nobly foreign, while this in Arabic, pure and clear, Those who believe not in the signs of Allah, Allah will not guide them, and there will be a grievous penalty. It is those who believe not in the signs of Allah that forge falsehood. It is they who lie. Anyone who, after accepting faith in Allah, urges unbelief except under compulsion, is hard remaining firm in faith, but such as open their breast to unbelief, on them is wrath from Allah, and theirs will be a just penalty. This is because they love the life of this world better than the hereafter. And Allah guides, subhanAllah, and Allah will not guide those who reject faith. Those are they whose heart, ears, and eyes Allah has sealed up, and they take no heed. Without doubt, in the hereafter they will perish. But verily, your Lord, to those who leave their homes after trials and persecution, and who thereafter strive and fight for the faith, and patiently persevere, thy Lord, after all this, is all-forgiving, most merciful.
Alhamdulillah. One day every soul will come up struggling for itself, and every soul will be recompensed fully for all its actions, and none will be unjustly dealt with. Allah sets forth a parable, a city enjoying security and quiet, abundantly supplied with sustenance from every place. Yet was it ungrateful for the favors of Allah. So Allah made it taste of hunger and terror in extremes, closing in on it like a garment from every side because of the evil which its people wrought. And there came to them a messenger from among themselves, but they falsely rejected him. So the wrath seized them even in the midst of their iniquity. So eat of the sustenance which Allah has provided for you, lawful and good, and be grateful for the favors of Allah, if it is he whom you serve. He has only forbidden you dead meat and blood and the flesh of swine and any food over which the name of other than Allah has been invoked. But if one is forced by necessity, without willful disobedience, nor transgressing due limits, then Allah is all-forgiving, most merciful. But say not for any false thing that your tongues may put forth, this is lawful and this is forbidden, so as to ascribe false things to Allah. For those who ascribe false things to Allah will never prosper. And such falsehood is but a paltry profit, but they will have a most grievous penalty. To the Jews, we prohibited such things as we have mentioned to thee before. We did them no wrong, but they were used to doing wrong to themselves. But verily, thy Lord, to those who do wrong in ignorance, but who thereafter repent and make amends, thy Lord, after all this, is all forgiving, most merciful.
Abraham was indeed a model devoutly obedient to Allah, and true in faith, and he joined not gods with Allah. He showed his gratitude for the favors of Allah, who chose him and guided him to a straight way, and gave him good in this world, and we will be in the hereafter in the ranks of the righteous. Then he revealed unto thee far the ways of Abraham, the true in faith, and he joined not gods with Allah. The Sabbath was only made strict for those who disagreed as to its observance, but Allah will judge between them on the day of judgment as to their differences. Invite all to the way of thy Lord with wisdom and beautiful preaching, and argue with him in ways that are best and most gracious. For thy Lord knoweth best who are saved from his path and who receive guidance. And if ye punish, let your punishment be proportionate to the wrong that has been done unto you. But if you show patience, that is indeed the best course for those who are patient. And desire to be patient, for our patience is but with the help from Allah. Now grieve over them and distress not thyself because of their plots. For Allah with those who restrain themselves and those who do good.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, we completed Surah 16. We are at the 15th juice, inshallah. All right, my brother. Assalamu alaikum. Yes. Yes. I was thinking about, you know, staying in shape. You know, once upon a time, at work, you know, I worked at Juvenile Hall, we played, ping pong. One thing about ping pong, and you think about the Chinese, how Mao Zedong used to play ping pong, you know? And one thing about ping pong is that you have to, like a ball falls to the floor, you got to pick it up. In other words, you're constantly picking up balls off the floor, you know? And that's the good part of ping pong, because you're moving around. And you constantly, you know, going down. Oh, it's a lot of noise. Somebody got a lot of noise going on.
Oh, sorry about that.
Okay. Yeah, and it's a lot of, but all of us, I'm going to be 76 next week, and I'm concerned about my health, so I'm doing the walking and everything. But also I thought, I might clean out my living room and get me a ping pong set, a ping pong table, regulation table. And me and my kids and guests would come over and play ping pong. That's going to keep me up. I'm thinking that's going to keep me in shape because, like I said, reaching down for that ball, constantly reaching down. Because sometimes, man, if something is on the ground, I don't feel like bending over, picking it up, and it takes so long sometimes, that's when I'm out of shape, you know. But ping pong will put you right at it. You be getting that ball, and you be excited about the game, and you don't want to lose, and that all that fear and stuff come up in you, and you be half mad, and this guy is beating you and stuff. So anyway, I thought I'd bring that up about us staying in shape because, you know, we're all senior citizens right now, I'm pretty sure. And then another thing I wanted to mention, it's a museum out here. They call it the museum, but it's you know, in order to remember it, remember TAM, T-A-M, like TAM. And it stands for Tomorrow Aeronautic Museum, Tomorrow's Aeronautical Museum. And it's a brother out here named I forgot his first name, but his last name is Pettigrew. And he started a program teaching children to fly airplanes out here at Compton in the Compton Airport right over here on Alondra in Wilmington. And he's been covered a lot in CNN and ABC News and I think 60 Minutes and all like that. And he gets these children and he teaches them how to fly. He has a story himself. He never been in the military himself, but he wanted to. But it was I think it was during the Vietnam era or something, and he didn't want to go. He didn't want to go and just be over there fighting in Vietnam. So anyway, make a long story short, he started this, what he called TAM, Tomorrow's Aeronautic Museum, Tomorrow. And Ruben Katim's daughter, on one of the segments that they did on one of the local TV stations, ABC or something, is on the segment flying an airplane. And she's up there in her hijab and thing, and her mother is right there, and they're in their hijab or kamara. Anyway, it's a good program. So what I'm thinking about doing is going in and talking to him again. I've I've been going in and out there for the last few years, but really talking to him and asked what kind of programs he had for children. And I was going to start recruiting some of our local Muslim children to go in there, and they have simulated flights. Like on Saturday, there'd be a lot of kids in there, and they have those kind of like simulated flights. It looks like an airplane, and the kids be up there flying, and they learn aviation information about lifts and all that. And so I was gonna start the Space Explorer Scouts, this Space Explorer Scouts that we had talked about for the kids, getting our kids involved in space, but you know, letting them begin by just learning aviation, and also this would kind of like grow into a Claire Muhammad school if you get enough people, especially Muslims, because I'm gonna concentrate on the Muslims across the city and even out the city, and inshallah get the parents interested in their kids learning the dynamics. Because I was thinking about Orville and Wilbur, the aviation brothers, who was let's see, Orville and Wilbur. What was your last name?
The Wright brothers.
That's right. And how they was at Kitty Hawk, and they barely got that little contraption off the ground, and then once they got that little contraption off the ground, then other people saw it and modified it, and modified it and improved it, and pretty soon, you know, that's what you see right in the sky. You see them great big old airplanes up in the sky. Well, that started right there in about, what was that, about 1903 or someday. But by the First World War, 1917, they was up in the sky. They was up in the sky, and they was, you know, throwing bombs overboard and stuff. You know, in other words, it's a matter of like 10 or 15 years. They had made so much progress. But you can see how that little contraption in, what was that date? Was that 1903? You know, whatever. So anyway, I was just thinking about that too. And this TAM, in order to remember the name, TAM, T-A-M, Tomorrow's Aeronautic Museum. And it's this brother named Pettigrew. And then, alhamdulillah, when we're talking, now I know it was a sister on Blog Talk Radio AM 360, and Sister Amina used to call into American Muslim 360, and then the brother used to say, area code 111111, and that was always her. Everybody knew it was her because she had that code 111111. In other words, sometimes when you call into a Blog Talk Radio show, you don't have to show your number, and you could put 111111111 instead of your number. So somebody is calling into our show and using that, and I don't know what their intentions is, but you know, it's kind of like the protocol for American Muslim 360 to say, state your name and where you're calling from. State your name, because I guess we don't want no secrets, but I ain't got nothing to hide, you know, or whatever. I really don't care, but it's just somebody who uses 111111111. And you know, and they never say anything. They just listen, you know, which is all right with me. Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't care. Alhamdulillah. But and then alhamdulillah. Yeah. So the Space Explorer Scouts. So we want to start getting with our children and with the Space Explorer Scout. And then HUD. Okay, so right now I filed my application with HUD, the Housing and Urban Development. And so now I'm a HUD broker. And I want to look into this nonprofit program that religious organizations can be a part of, and HUD to give accredited religious organizations 30% discount, 30% off of the market price of real estate, whether it's houses or apartments. Because I want to pursue this. I want to see if Kevin Muhammad School can own its own real estate and sustain itself, because that's always been the cry. That's been the excuse. And, you know, the teachers need rent, and they need car notes, they need insurance, they need food, which is true. They're human beings. Everything can't be volunteer all the time. So we want to try to see if we could develop a way for the Karen Muhammad school system to sustain itself, maybe through real estate. And Brother Muhammad, the brother Omar back east, who you introduced me to, him and his wife have a consulting firm where they could help you get accredited, because they have, you know, the knowledge of how you go about filing the type of different applications and the kind of language the organization like HUD. And this is a favorable thing, because the HUD leader now, the HUD chief, is an African-American woman. It's a sister. So this may be a good time to try to do that, not that she's – yeah. But anyway, so I'm going to try to consult with that brother Omar, he and his wife, to help to see if we could get certified here on the West Coast. Because if we do it here on the West Coast first, and then after that, if we're successful, then we could, you know, share the information with the rest of the of our people, you know, in order to have Claire Muhammad School sustain itself, you know what I mean? So we're looking at that. And then we talked about CAM, the Tomorrow's Aeronautical Museum. So if anybody want to chime in, go ahead and chime in. I'll praise you to Allah. That's what I wanted to just report this morning. And Allah's blessing. I think Allah's blessing us and guiding us, because we're getting up reading this Holy Quran and we're getting blessings. Allah's, you know, African brother from Ethiopia, he lived next door to me for years, Brother Ahmed Abdi. He returned to Allah, but he used to say, Ameen. He said, Ameen. Whenever Allah wants to bless you, he bless you with ideas. I never forget. He bless you with ideas. Allah. So if anybody wants to chime in, go ahead and chime in. I'll pray to you Allah. Assalamu alaikum. And all of our mics are open. Brother Muhammad.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, yeah. Assalamu alaikum. How you doing this morning?
Oh, always praise due to Allah. Always doing good. You know, we're living the best life. You know.
That's right. Good life.
Regardless of what? Yeah, we're living the good life. You know, and inshallah, that's in the Quran. So I there's no complaints. I'm always good. You know, I'm always striving, to have that, you know, and so that I can bear witness that it's true. You know, no doubt about it. You know, the good life, Quran has been here for a little over 1,400 something years, and those who strive with all their might, you know, they see it, they feel it. As you can know, we eating zabiya meat now and halal, so we, you know, as you make more dua and increase your sincerity, the more Allah will reward you, you know, to establish our goal of being a model human being and then a model community, et cetera, et cetera. So it's the more we strive and develop our sincerity, we're able to testify that there's no God but Allah and Muhammad is the messenger, you know, and model example of human obedience to the Creator will produce for you, you know, al-Islam, peace here on earth, you know, and help you to save your soul, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So always good. It's always good because all good comes from Allah and the bad comes from ourselves. So I try not to be masochistic and mistreat myself, you know, like we see in some of the lives that us Muslims live, you know. We beat ourselves with different straps and things, and we punish ourselves by lying about stuff that we know we ain't going to do. So I'm trying to stay away from the self-inflicted false realities that Shaitan invites us to, and then have us think that we can punish ourselves better than Allah do, or we can make a sacrifice and bargain with Allah and say we'll beat ourselves or punish ourselves for being unfaithful, and Allah is supposed to accept it. It don't work that way. Allah has already set the reality that we don't know about concerning everything, and the good life in the Quran helps us be satisfied, you know, with peace, love, understanding, knowledge, wisdom, all the good things in the good life, you know. So I try to have it every day because I'll begin to, by Allah's permission, understand and can bear witness that you can save your own soul first. You can save your own soul, you know. And you have to do that, and there is benefit when you go through the transition of that. You see that you can help others save their own soul by the model example you give, being consistent in inviting every human being to the reality of Allah. Give them an invitation to read and listen to the Quran, you know, and study the life of Prophet Muhammad, and you will also see them begin to receive from Allah the human reality that this is really changing them into saving their own soul, and then they go for their loved ones and they go over. That's why community life, being on the level of the good life of the Quran, is so important for all human beings, especially those like us here in North America, you know, having the opportunity after so many believers have put themselves in a situation where Allah has taken the favor off of them, and now we have that favor. And to establish the good life by the way of the Quran, the guidance of the model example of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and responding to the caller of this day and time, you know, and what he has left with us, like Allah left with him. When Imam Muhammad, may Allah be pleased with him, put a light in his grave, came aware of his mission, Allah said, "Here I left you with these two things to do your job with: the Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad. All you had to do is get this to your people and the people in the United States of America, and inshallah, those of them who believe and want the good life that they were created for will recognize that I exist, and this is the final revelation of the many books of the history of the human family that they are already aware of exists. And that Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will be the last warning. There will be no more prophets to warn us of the good life that we're missing out on in the Quran by listening to the world and their interpretation of the books and things that they have already contaminated and giving us their version, their tafsir, their logic of what Almighty God Allah said, while at the same time been hiding and misguiding us in the thinking that law is a man or part man, and had a man is a son, blah, 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 blah. But the good life that's in the Quran and becoming satisfied with it and praying for it, being sincere and firm about it, reminding each other at all times the best thought is the thought of Allah, the best thinking is the thinking of Allah, and being regardful of what Allah lets you think as he precipitate his enlightenment to our human intellect, that he exists and that the light that he gives us personally is in the light of the Quran and in the light of the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had left us as an example of our potential to be able to go forward to establishing the good life in 2021, inshallah, of the Holy Quran. So the more we develop this discipline to learn how to talk about the truth, to talk about Allah, to talk about what's in the Quran, talk about the life of Prophet Muhammad, and keep that sweet taste in our mouth, we'll be able to be able to share that same sweet turf of that, hey, ain't nothing wrong with talking the truth all the time. That's like being in paradise. When you can keep a focus of the good life that's in the Quran in this crazy false world, false reality that Shaitan has put in the human mind and trying to put in the human heart, you'll be able to free yourself from that. So there's so much importance in prayer and the life that Allah has given us in the Quran, how it reinforces our human creation. So because Allah answers all du'as. So when we start enjoying talking the truth to each other, being more truthful and clear with each other, we will quit talking the language of this world. Just think about it. Even though we are teachers and have been students of all the books of Allah, may Allah be pleased, we thank him for that, that we're still using the language, the dead languages, the false languages of the people who are still under that influence of the bad life that they had for not accepting the good life of the Quran. We're still calling Jesus Christ, and knowing that there no human being even exists according to the truth of that language he's talking. We know he had a couple different names, his Hebrew name and other names that are recognized by other honorable languages like Arabic, you know, Isa and Arabic and Mushawa in Hebrew. But we know none of those names are fictitious like the name Satan has given us in his lie about who he is, his birth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we give more time to the attraction and mesmerizing of the past and the false past. See, we have two Bibles. We have the Bible that has been cleared for us, who said La ilaha illallah, and those of us who people who know us and have let their natural human soul also listen to the language of the Quran so they know there's one Bible and what it really meant according to the creator of it. And then they also know the Bible that Satan has given the world, and they have accepted it and have established a false history of Adam to Muhammad. They have established a false interpretation of the Bible, etc., etc., and we spend more talking about the illusionary Bible, Torah, Injil, etc., that Shaitan has set up because of the psychedelic, psychological influence it put on our senses to where we don't even know the real thing no more when we hear it or see it. But the good life of the Quran will keep us balanced and keep us on the mustaqim, so that we will see that Allah is really the creator of everything, that the books of revelation that he has sent to the human family is the right path to follow and not the false path to follow that Satan has given the human family is the real thing. So as we make that distinguishing, as we try to exemplify and express what Allah is now giving you and Brother Rashad and Muhammad Sharif and myself and others who are listed who have not yet made this their concern or their love for the good life on this program verbally, you know, including 111111, but inshallah, the more they see us take control of our time and give that time to the real knowledge of Almighty God, Allah, the creator of all the worlds and our existence, and the books cleaned up and everything by reading the Quran, and give honor back to the messengers and the prophets of God when they read about the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we get so engrossed in it to where we find ourselves talking the truth to each other every day. We be more honest with each other. We won't fantasize what we be saying to each other. We won't be giving a false hope to each other about and making plans that if we really believe that they're going to happen the way that we say it, with this false logic, with this false influence from the shaitan on it, that's why we are not completing our goals. And then if we do it, guess what? Just like you were saying a few minutes ago, and I said, wow, that's a good point, boy. Just think, they learned how to fly these airplanes, and instead of doing it for the advancement of the human intelligence and life, even at an early stage, they throwing bombs out of it to kill each other. The only thing that Shaitan is going to take with revelation that we don't keep it pure and clean is he going to use it against us. Because he's fire. He likes to destroy and break down stuff. And here we are for learning how to fly by Allah's grace and mercy so that we can have much benefit of it and spraying our land for the agriculture and growing good food and helping us get and have sure with each other in different places. Very easy to do with flight. And here we are, one of the first things, because there was no truth in that area around there, we want to throw bombs out of it. On each other and kill each other and make it a weapon of destruction instead of a blessing for the advancement of the human worship, you know, to Almighty God Allah. So I'll stop there for this 5 minutes and anybody back to you, brother.
Anybody just chime in. We got 5 minutes at least. I was trying to get a little breakfast here. Boy,
So what are you having?
I'm looking around for some oatmeal, but we ain't went to the market. Yeah, we're all out of oatmeal.
Yeah, that's what I have, oatmeal every day, every morning, oatmeal.
Yeah. Usually it does the job pretty good.
The oatmeal has the fiber in it, you know, and helps you to be regular.
Elimination. Yes, sir.
Sometimes I run out of something because I think they would eat. I run in a hurry, running late. Well, no, boy eat meal. Sometimes I have two or three times a day.
Yeah, I don't know, bro. I might need to. But on the other hand, I got a taste of some grits. I ain't ate no grits in a little while.
Yeah, it's been quite a while. I had grits also.
You know, what I've been thinking about is, you know, brothers that come out the institution. You know, that's a lot of gang life, you know, the youth, and that gang life, that the street life that they get introduced to for one reason or another. You know, it's in just about every, not only every major city, but every mid-sized and even small cities too, you know, these gangs, you know. And they eventually, many of them go to the institution. Now, some of them hear the call of Islam and accept it, you know. And then they come on out here and, you know, some of them join the communities, and others maybe, you know, fall back into the other ways. But many of them come out and join the Islamic community, associate with Muslims and consider themselves Muslims. You know, they have one foot in the grave and one foot in Islam. You know, one foot in that thug life and the other foot in Islamic life. You know, they may not go to Juma every Friday, because I was with a brother, doing a project with a brother, and his friend, you know, had came out the institution, and I didn't know the way he talked, you know, I didn't know he knew anything about Islam, but I was encouraging the brother to go to Juma, man. And the other brother who, you know, I wasn't I hadn't any knowledge of him having Islamic concepts, you know. Yeah, he came on with us, and yeah, he bowed down and made salat, and he fell right on in line, so he was introduced to Islam in the prison also. But, you know, when I think about these young brothers coming out, and I think about how in the African-American community, I remember I was traveling with a Muslim brother from I can't forget what country he was from. Anyway, it's one country from the Middle East. Anyway, he said, we're passing by all these churches, because in the African-American community, man, you can find sometimes churches two or three on a block, you know.
One block.
Sometimes.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say something?
No, I was just saying, agreeing with what you were saying.
Yeah, you find all these churches, two and three on the corner, man. So he said, you know what? He said, if African-Americans, he said, if you all got rid of these churches and had mosques, masjids on these corners, you know, the whole community would rise, you know. I said, well, yeah, that's true, you know. So anyway, to tie it up, here's, you know, with my thinking, you know, of mentioning that these brothers in prison had come out of prison, man. You know, it'll be a good thing, man, if we get these young brothers, man, to come out to penitentiaries, you know, to open up some little old masjids, you know, on the corner to get their homies on in, you know. Yeah, so teach these brothers, man, how to, you know, perform Juma prayer and you know, to give them some Islamic knowledge, man, basic knowledge. And ask these brothers that's coming out to penitentiaries, man, open up a little old masjid in your own communities, invite your homies in, you know, and spread this deen like that. It doesn't have to be like, you know, I don't think we have these masjids with these brothers, you know. It's good to know the deen as much knowledge as you can, you know, that's good, but just basic knowledge, man. Have some of these young brothers that come out, man, just teach them how to open up a little storefront, man, and invite their gang homies in, those who was in the penitentiaries with them and those who on the street, man, and compete with some of these storefront churches, you know. Get these little young brothers to open up these masjids, man, and get rid of some of these storefront churches, man, because a lot of them are just, they're just in there, you know, and they're for the dollar, some of them. But that's what's always been on my mind, man, how to reach these youths and turn that energy, man, into, you know, some positive Islamic energy. Because a lot of them, they do get, you know, because a lot of imams are going to the penitentiaries, you know. Have a lot of Muslim chaplains. We have Christian chaplains as well, but a lot of Muslim chaplains, you know, go there and give dawah, you know, and these brothers come out knowing something about Islam, you know.
SubhanAllah, in response to that, Imam Muhammad, by Allah's permission, gave the community a suggestion at that time. He said those, he made it a positive neutral request. He said, if you are my imam and you are functioning in the prisons, he said, they ain't going nowhere. They're not going anywhere. And to make a living or make your development of your dawah skills and things, you know, off of the prison population, he said, we don't need to do that anymore. He said, what we need to do is each masjid or each chaplain or masjid that is sending dawah personnel into the institution, he said, if you follow my leadership, I want you to come out of those prisons and spend more time on preparing when they get out by establishing and getting our rights and tax dollars to help our people that are in the prison who have accepted the Islamic faith and help establish halfway houses, job training programs that when they get released, they can come right to. And I know in the early 1971s there in Columbus, Ohio, that's exactly what we did. We had a reentry program where the Muslims could come out. They go straight to the halfway house, which would automatically get them released maybe 5 or 6 months earlier than what they would normally get released because they're going to a certified Islamic-ran halfway house. And in that halfway house, we would have Muslim plumbers and carpenters and other believers come in and teach a class while they are doing that 120 days in the halfway house. We would help them get their GED. We would help them learn about al-Islam, the requirements of being a Muslim, and trying to further their prison shahada, which we know Allah said that when man gets in trouble, he always calls on them. So we know that a lot of them, and the intention was to get the relief from the hell they had got themselves in by asking for repentance, and alhamdulillah for that. And then they don't have to do anything to perfect it other than just get out of the cell to come down to the meetings, et cetera, as they, by Allah's permission, those who he know in their hearts are sincere, receive their education in what it is to be a Muslim and what al-Islam is, the different types of expressions of al-Islam that people are trying to put in effect out there that are not true Islam, and try to help them find their way of all the knowledge that they're going to run into while they're in the institution, as well as what they're going to run into when they get out. And if we have not helped them, those who are, that are sincere, develop more sincerity so that they can have control over their will when they get out, to be sincere about continuing to ask Allah to not let them go back to Darlene. So we had classes there. The Masjid made sure that they, if it was a nightside Masjid, been well functioning as a community, you know, had classes also in the Arabia, prayer and all like that, you know, to support the halfway house. Like Brother Amin is saying, that they either come through HUD or some of the other programs where they gave the legitimized masjid those grants and support systems to have a place for a reentry program for those inmates as they come out, you know. And the imam said, get them skills so they can get a job while they still in the halfway house and under the Islamic monitoring team, is a Quranic monitoring team, the model of Prophet Muhammad being taught to them, because they already created Muslims, so it will be easier if we have a proper environment. He said, y'all come on out of them prison, you know, and spend more time on the halfway houses, teaching them the responsibility of a husband in Islam, because marriage is half their deen. Get them some good kutbahs and tafsirs on marriage. You know, get them a chance that the same sisters, and you'd be surprised how many Muslim sisters are writing inmates, you know, looking for a husband, getting husbands who come out that they met on the internet and had a develop a relationship with them in the institution. See, that won't happen if the door way of the institution by the chaplains and people going in servicing those brothers and sisters who are there, because just like Imam Muhammad said, they ain't going nowhere. What we need to do is prepare for their future. We wouldn't have this problem we have now, where our sisters and our brothers are marrying a lot of brothers and sisters who's coming out of the institution, you know, where they accepted al-Islam at, where in there, they don't. It's very easy to be a Muslim in there. You don't have to do anything, you know. But when you get out here in the real world, where you're going to have to put what you, your shahada, to test for your own development, they're not prepared. They come to the masjid, and everybody greet them, and they halfway get a hug of this, they might get a charitable donation, and then the community just go on about their business as usual. And forgetting all about it, they just had a person who's on parole or probation and has accepted out his army, trying to find a community life. First thing they find out that there ain't no community. You know, they come to find out, and by the fact that they still are dealing with the residues, like you were saying, of the churches and things, in their mind, Shaitan begins to show them, well, these Muslims are just like churches. They don't really care about you. All they care about is your sadaqah, etc. Nobody's counseling you. The imam is not spending time with you, knowing that you just got there. There's no program at the masjid that is have a structured R or QR class on a regular basis so that you can learn how your prayer, you can learn about what Ramadan is. Ramadan is, you know, you're at least two or three times a week, if not every day, you could go there and do your five prayers and sit with the believers there, and they all let you share their brotherly love with you, the brothers, and you have halakha, and you sit there and discuss the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his favor to us, you know. So reinforce their knowledge of the good life that is waiting on them in the life of the Quran that Allah has put in there for them who have made dua and sought Allah's help in time of need, though they put their own self in that situation because of their parents might not was firm with them. Their parents maybe wasn't Muslims, etc. We have a lot of Muslims who go back to jail, you know, on a regular basis, you know. You know, and come back out and practice al-Islam for 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 months or whatever, and then marry a sister and maybe ruin her life, and then next thing you know, three or four years down the road, they're back in the penitentiary. How do we model and teach the good life of the Quran and use the same resources that we're talking about doing for different good things now. They're good things, but they're not the right things. If we're going to deal with helping those who embrace al-Islam where they are in their time of need, you know, and help them get out and prepare. They got a place to stay that the state has given you money to pay for. They're in a halfway house. They're monitored. They're supervised. There's counseling services there. There's detox services there. You know, see, we done dropped all those things. That's what the Muslims under the leadership of Imam W. Muhammad used to do in the beginning of our enlightenment of the good life by the mercy of Allah. And as he was teaching and encouraging us to do the things that the Christian preachers and other so-called religious people, just like you were saying, they just doing it for the money. They just doing it for the grant money. They just doing it for all the different forms of sadaqa that Allah has put in the creation to help man. In every government, there's always some kind of way people think they voted on it, but they don't know that it was Allah's will, whether they liked it or not, that took their will and made them vote for the right thing and the right stuff in their government that they are living up under to make sure that al-Islam has the opportunity to grow if the people want it. Just like what we've seen here in North America, all these things that we see in the Constitution of the United States, even knowing that some of the founding fathers, Allah put his will in them to make them read about the Quran, though they was racist. Because on the day of Qiyamah, they're not going to be able to deny and say we didn't know what al-Islam was, Thomas Jefferson, and all some of the other founders of the cosmos. They already know Allah has made it, because Allah is in charge of the state. Allah makes us do what we don't want to do, and he makes us do what we're supposed to do. We have to have that type of clarity in our understanding of who we're dealing with. We're dealing with the Creator. He makes us do anything that he wants to before we even know we're going to do it, because he's the one who knows and is in charge of this world, in this reality, our minds, our decisions. It just makes it better if we pray for it our own self and show Allah that we are aggressively seeking his mercy, seeking his blessing. So all we have to do is facilitate and be a model of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this good life, so that those who don't know or those who are under impression will have a light to follow, like Imam Muhammad did when Allah blessed him to turn the light on, so that they can see the straight way. See people who are striving like they are, trying to save their life. Just because they've been in the institution don't mean that they ain't doing the same thing as the brother who got a PhD or a sister who's got a master's degree. We all are trying to save our life by following the guidance of our Creator and what he has prescribed for us. That's that equality that Allah shows us. Just because you done this and done that, you ask for forgiveness, you just as equal as the brother or sister who ain't done nothing. Because you all had to strive, like in a race, to stay ahead of the whispers of the shaitan and the potential ability he has to make you slip. Now, there's a lot of money out there for halfway homes, detox centers, that the federal government, the state of the government, have already allocated to help religious communities who are sincere in helping the corruption in the human family that's put there by Satan. Even Satan don't run nothing. He know Allah is going to come to the aid of those who he are tricking, because we have a natural inclination in our heart to ask Allah to forgive us, to ask a higher authority. When we sit on the side, I'd be a crime because the man just gave me another 5 years. Or you sitting there and you at home on the street, you just lost your job. We're going to call on the law whether we like it or not, because we his creation, and it's natural for us in the time of need, like Allah tells us in the Quran. Yeah, when they get uptight, they'll call on me. So they don't know that I already know that most of them will go back doing the same thing. If their brothers and sisters around them don't also help them in their time of need to have faith in the prayer that they make it now, asking God for help. By having rehab centers, by having a legitimate community for them to look for the opportunity to go. Remember, right after the understanding of Al-Islam, marriage is the number one thing Allah lets us know the wisdom. This is half of your deen, and I got your other half. But they don't know anything about human love, human obligation, human respect for a woman or for a man in certain some circumstances. And marriage is the farthest thing away from the mind because Satan is telling them that it will break their heart. And then he creates scenarios to where it does happen. Muslim brother might be married and cheat on his wife, or Muslim brother and sister be married and she cheat on her husband because they have not have the faith in the environment based on the good life of the Holy Quran. Our problem has been and will be until the day of judgment, if we don't do it, is not having a legitimate community in accord with our Shahada and have made it publicly known that we are believers in one God, not witnesses, not Shahada, but we are believers in our Shahada. And we are going to have in America, France, Germany, wherever they live at, we know that Almighty God Allah has already put it in your logic to not interfere with our right to believe as we believe, our right to have a halal community, our right to pursue happiness, etc. And the rest we're supposed to do our own self. We're supposed to create our own job, create our own halal food, create our understanding by reading the Quran and the example of Prophet Muhammad, what it takes to make a marriage work. Love each other. Follow the dictates of the Quran. Love for your brother and your sister what you love for yourself. Love your wife like she's your other half of your reality. Love your husband like he's your other half of your reality, and Allah is the other half of the both of you. When we teach this good life, we've been now free almost, a couple hundred years, and we've really been free for the last 45 years. Those of us who have been under the guidance of the life of Imam Waqif Muhammad by Allah's permission, there's no reason for us not being successful. There's no reason for us going off into the wilderness without the Quran and the life of the Prophet Muhammad underneath our belt. There's no reason to be doing anything in America or France or Germany anywhere and don't have a legitimate community to back us up. People who are not trying to stand off from you, but yet still they call themselves your brother or your sister, when you can have people who are really taking a declaration to be your brother and your sister, like Abraham said, my life and death is all for the life of the belief. We can't keep running off and trying to establish things without bismillah, alhamdulillah, and feasibilillah. We can't keep running off establishing other things, and we haven't established the pillars of Al-Islam, the good life of the Quran. So we have and need all those things that we want, but we are doing them in another name. We talk more about Jesus than we do Muhammad. We talk more about the history of the human family than we do about the future of the human family. We have to stay conscious. We have to have taqwa and dhikr, not amnesia. So, inshallah, we pray Allah will keep us balanced and understand that Allah said, I want you to do whatever you're going to do with your free will. Do it under the structure of what I have prepared for you, Al-Islam. And Al-Islam is five pillars. Six articles of the faith. 70-some logic. Good manners. Good fathers. Good mothers. According to the example, a model of human excellence in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, I know it looks tough out there because in our frame of mind, we might look at the world and say, well, we want to go for the good life. And I know it looks like the whole planet is against us, but it ain't. First of all, Allah said, well, there might not be no help, but there's always ready. 1.9 billion people that once you turn the light on them and let them know how wrong they are, those who believe will come and support and help you give them the good life that they think they already got and been trying to deny us from having the knowledge to do it. But if you turn the light on them through Shura and ask them, I know you're a Muslim because you took the Shahada, but what I want to know, are you a mu'min? Are you a believer? Yeah, I know you, your religion is Christianity, but I want to know, are you a believer? Not a Christian. I want to know, are you a believer? I know you are a Buddha is your focal point, and you call yourself Buddhist. But what I know, are you a believing Buddhist? Because us believers belong together. Us believers belong together to do the work that we all are trying to grasp to please our Creator. Because all of you and every one of you, regardless of what you call yourself or what you're doing, you know you ain't created yourself. And you have learned through science and the guidance of Almighty God Allah that there is something that connects us that we have called the will of the Creator or the will of life. Or nature takes its own way. You know we are connected. And you know that there's a gravitational desire in each and every one of us for the clarity of our unity of being brothers and sisters or a family or a community created by Almighty God to take care of this earth. Because we still can't neglect our responsibility. I don't care what Satan has named us, gave us all kind of nationality names, earthly names, and all kind of different names. Bottom line, we are still supposed to be the caretakers of this earth. We're supposed to be one creation of Khalifa taking care of this responsibility of Allah. It's trying to say, can you take care of this life on earth while you fight the shaitan and give him his respite? We're not going to do it if we keep trying to go on without our base. See, Christianity and all them other little false religions out there from the contamination of the books of Allah, they have a base up underneath of them. They have a foundation. And trying to justify that lie, what they're doing with that foundation every day. And we are floating. Just like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us, Y'all, we are in on the mothership above the natural gravitational pull that Allah gave each other. We are supposed to have our feet on the ground. And we still lost in space. They signified us when they came out with that Star Trek. They were signifying on the believers. You are lost in space. We down here got control of the real thing. While you all up there in space trying to find a place to land. And we trying to push you even farther out of space. We trying to get you to go to the moon. We trying to get you to go to Mercury. We trying to get you to go anywhere for the benefit of those who are on Earth. And Satan is ethical. He said, I got them under my influence, but I'm going to send you out there on suicidal missions, different other things, trying to find out more fire for me to put on your human creation. But wherever you go at, you're going to bring it back here, and I'm going to use it in the form of bombs, viruses, flamethrowers, because my job is to destroy you for not having your foot on the ground, for not having your foundation of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah and the pillars and the ark of the faith and your destiny to be caliph, which starts out with a legitimate before Allah in the public saying that I'm your brother, you are my brother. I got a half a bowl of soap, you got a half a bowl of soup. My children are your children when you are not present. That is what a mukmin is. Your farm is my farm when you're away somewhere. That is Khalifa. I will take care of your property, your cattle, your anything that you leave in my position that you, while you are away. That's the Khalifa in us. That's the Khalifa that we have in each of them. We can take care of your possession. So the good life. Now this whole Quran ain't something to take lightly. Like Shaitan has been and a lot of us have had like Imam Muhammad said, I have shura with my leaders and people of responsibility, and before they get back to their community, they then put their tooth in it. I tell them one thing of what Allah say and how to go do it, and they all agree that we'll do it like this here, and then before they can get back, to like Brother Rashad, to their churches on the corner, they done change the whole program and tell their people something else. And take that 2% or whatever they withheld from the community. On Juma, they use it to try to act like they some celebrity, how they so much wiser than everybody. But when in actuality, when you look at it, the deeds and actions, they just like the brother who sat in the masjid who played all day long and the community fed him. Community brought him water. Allah told Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you tell them that y'all are better than him. You community, you people who want community life, you are better than the leadership if it ain't given to you. If not, then you'll get the type of leadership you deserve. If you believe your leadership is God, then that's what you'll get, a human God. One who slips and falls like everybody else. One who will steal from you like anybody else. Now don't forget what we're saying now. It's not taking anything away from the true believers who have given true leadership according to the Quran and the Sunnah through their community. We're not talking about them. We talk about what's interfering by we pledging our allegiance to the false image of what an imam is that is out there that Shaitan is painting. The false image of trust. That's why we don't want to give each other no money and we don't want to put nothing in the side kebab. We don't want to establish zakat, you know, because of the false leadership we have, the false community life that we have. And we don't even have one. when are we going to bring this age to a halt? Because Allah said, I'm not going to change your condition for the good life until you change yourself and act like you want it, the good life of the Quran. So, again, I leave it open. May Allah forgive me for the extra time I took, but again, if anyone has something to say.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yes, all praise be to Allah. Yeah. Your suggestion, I was just thinking about your suggestion of contacting, you know, school teachers, public school teachers, and ask them to donate and everything. Yeah, I
hello, Agma.
You know, I understand. Right, I understand where you're coming from on that, but I kind of hesitated collecting money when other things are not tied off right. You know what I mean? In other words, I have some loose ends. You know what I mean? And
Excuse me for interrupting.
Yeah, go ahead.
For this short time. Remember, all you got to do, since this is your blog program, if you are firm in your goal and service to Allah, all you got to do is go and go get an account open up in your name underneath the good life according to Quran and Sister Clara Muhammad School at your bank, and then put an article in the paper letting them know also on your blog and everything that you have opened an account for donations for the school, science, and everything, and not for you. But at least you're opening the door so that you can receive donations while you go forward with the processing of making the 501c3, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
You know, see, because, see, there's nothing in the world. If you use the language donation, you have to get it back. But now a lot of people are going to send you a few dollars to help you anyway. But for the sake of accountability, the quickest way to do it is you go open up in your bank, open up another account dealing with your donation or charitable. And because it's accountable for. That way, whenever if the IRS, they might want accountability, you'll have those records already in motion while you're waiting on the processing. And then when you go to your HUD and you go do your other thing, you already have what they are interested in, too. What is, well, how are you going to pay for this HUD house even if I give you 30% off of it? You can say, well, I have a foundation that's already in effect, and my name is until we grow and get a board, because we don't want to hold up on what needs to be done.
Uh-huh. All right. Okay, inshallah. Well, one thing about it, we meet every day. So the lady said we got 60 seconds, so I'm going to make the prayer. I'm going to say Al-Fatiha. And we have Juma today, so it's no message of concern today. So we have Juma. So
right.
I'm gonna say Al-Fatiha, until tomorrow. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawm Al-Din, Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'een, Ihdina Sirata Al-Mustaqeem, Rabbil Ladina An'amta Alayhim, Ghayri Al-Maghdubi Alayhim, Waladdaleen.
Ameen. May Allah be blessed on everybody. Be safe. As-salamu alaykum.
Have a good day. Be safe.
Wa alaikum.